This is Vatican Radio, and I'm Susie Hodges. 2013 was a remarkable year for the Vatican, which began with the surprise resignation of Pope Benedict and was followed by the election of Francis, the first pope from Latin America and the first Jesuit one. Since then, the new pope has won fans among Catholics and non-Catholics alike with his simplicity, his sincerity, and his message of mercy and inclusiveness. The impact of Pope Francis's papacy has been dubbed the Francis effect, with polls showing that he is one of the most popular figures on the planet and the most talked about name on the internet. Monsignor John Kennedy is an official at the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and together with me, he reviews this past year in the Vatican.
It's really wonderful to take a moment or two at the end of a calendar year to look back and see how it all began. 9 months ago, with that very courageous and humble gesture of Pope Benedict XVI stepping down from the papal ministry, opened up enormous possibilities that we've witnessed for the Church to preach the gospel, I think, in a new and a very exciting way. The choice of Francis, his choice of name, and the multiple effects that we've seen over this course of 9 months, over the spring, the summer, and as we came into autumn and winter, have made a lot of people very excited about their faith. And they're kind of causing people to return to their faith in a new way.
In fact, they're calling it the Francis effect. As you said, they've galvanised the Catholic faithful, and many, many more people are now attending Mass in many countries. I mean, what about in your native Ireland?
I would say absolutely. People have told me, and priests have been telling me, that more people are returning to the sacraments. They see a lot more people present at Mass. Faith is something that people are more prepared to discuss in public. It's not just something private anymore. We've often heard stories of conversions. Well, conversions have been a feature of Pope Francis' time, and this great sense of openness and excitement about having this great leader who seems to be one of us, who is inviting us to be like him as we strive together to follow the gospel more radically and more freely, and maybe in a more generous way too.
Now, it's difficult really to zoom in when it's been such an action-packed year. Well, it's not even a year, in fact, it's less than 10 months so far. But if you had to single out one or two of the highlights of what he has said or done in this time, what would they be?
One of the important things for me, and it's been a recurring theme in many of his homilies and his addresses, both on Wednesdays and on Sundays at the Angelus, is this theme of reconciliation, this faith theme that he's constantly repeating about the need to return to the Lord and to do so because the Lord is merciful. And he has been very encouraging of this and very inviting to all the people around the world, I suppose, to rediscover the beauty of the sacrament of reconciliation. And that would be, if you like, the internal reform of the soul. The other reforms he's been speaking about too would be the reforms that we need in our church structures too, more open, more accountable. And he has concentrated, as we know, on a number of different features. For example, the financial aspect, the constitution pastoral bonus, which was given to us by Pope John Paul II in 1988.
And which governs the Roman Curia.
The Roman Curia, and how the Roman Curia as an instrument of assistance helps the Pope in the governing and the running and the outreach to the universal church. He's established a group of cardinals and he's created new different roles and nominated certain people to fulfil those roles. He's been building on something which Pope Benedict started, as you mentioned at the beginning, the year of faith. So one pope started it and another pope concluded it. It's like that lovely biblical image of one person sowing and another person reaping. But you can see that it's the same faith. It's the same papacy. It's got a slightly different brand, it's got a different colour wrapper, but if you unwrap the cover, you'll see that, you know, it's the same thing, that he's preaching the same gospel. And I think that's something that a lot of people have latched onto, because in his homilies, you'll find that he's, you know, referring very frequently and very deeply to Scripture. His exegetical comments on the daily readings at Mass that he celebrates there every morning at 7 o'clock in Santa Marta, the residence where he lives. It's caused a lot of my friends, anyway, to speak about how we can unearth and discover and reveal more about the beauty of the gospel. So I think even those three or four things that he's doing have made an enormous difference.
You talked about some of the things that he's done, like setting up this advisory group of eight cardinals to advise him on future reforms of the Curia, for one. This, of course, has aroused incredible expectations among many of the faithful. Do you think some of these expectations surrounding Pope Francis are almost unrealistic? They can't be fulfilled because people are just expecting so much of him.
Well, you see, I think they can be fulfilled because I'm very optimistic. And the reason I base that opinion is because Pope Francis is a very realistic person. I mean, he's a person who's in touch with the average life of the daily man and woman. We know from where he came, we know about his living arrangements. He has, if you like, tried to replicate them in some ways in where he's doing today. And as a result, he's gained credibility, not only among Catholics and Christians, but also among non-believers and atheists alike. At the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, we often receive email messages which have been copied to the Pope, either at his email address or to one of the other departments as well. And we find that we get great encouraging letters and messages from people saying how sincere this man is, how warm, how he has changed the papacy and changed that person's view of faith and the structure of the church. It's almost as if his simplicity, which is a key feature of his whole papacy, seems to, if you like, latch on to an architectural principle that less is more. And in seeing the man in these very simple surroundings, seeing his humble gestures, I mean, who could forget, for example, the trip he made to Lampedusa and his heartfelt prayer for those men and women who had died in that tragic and continue to die, we have to add as well, in those tragic passages across the sea. His humility, his care, the fact that he actually gives time to people. We see him at the end of the audiences. Those maybe looking in on television will see it, that he actually has time for the various different pilgrims who come, including the married couples as well.
I mean, people feel he's genuine. He's not just making publicity gestures.
It's true, because even those events that actually take place behind doors, and I'm referring to a bishop's, how the ad limina visits take place. The bishops have to come every 5 or 6 years to give a report on their pastoral governance of the diocese. A friend of mine is an auxiliary bishop in one of the countries here in Europe, and he was telling me that how Pope Francis gave them all an hour and a half, which in a man's busy day, to give an hour and a half to a group of bishops, it shows his pastoral concern, it shows his fraternal support for these people. They felt as if this was a life-changing moment. For this man in particular, it was his first experience of an ad limina. So in many ways, Pope Francis is setting the tone now. He's setting a new tone, a fresh standard for people. And I think that's the standard by which future popes are going to be measured.
It's going to be quite a daunting task for any future pope, as you say, because in less than 9 months, he's become the man of the year. He's one of the most popular people on the planet, according to polls. He's the most talked about name in the internet and the most searched term, according to some reports. It seems... Where can you go from there?
Well, I mean, I think you can only go upwards from there. He's had 9 months of practically unbroken support in the media. We have seen enormous quantities of people coming to the general audience on Wednesdays and to the Angelus on Sunday. I was actually going away from Rome last Sunday to visit some friends, and there were people streaming. People were running. You'd swear that they were giving away free football tickets or something, the way people were rushing to get into the square. And this wasn't just this Sunday. This is like every Sunday. We have found, because our congregation is right beside St. Peter's Square, it's only in the last 2 weeks that the numbers have diminished. Usually this time of the year, a lot of people will be going indoors into the Paul VI audience hall, which is tucked away onto to the left-hand side of the Basilica. But because the numbers are so large, and because the weather is still pretty clement, you can actually see that the hall wouldn't hold that amount of people. And there's still a great excitement, not just from people from other countries, but I think especially a lot of Italians. A lot of Italians feel a great affinity with this Pope. Of course, I mean, he has Italian roots. He's chosen a name which is a great Italian saint's name. And they just feel this warmth. They like to see him. They are anxious to hear what he wants to say. And I think he is changing lives. And, on that point as well, he's changing lives in a kind of an internal and an external way. Externally, what you can see and what you can read, his tweets, his messages, his homilies, that kind of stuff. But also those little hidden gestures that he's doing quite quietly, but they are then eking out into the public forum, for example, his phone calls, his letters, the fact that he's giving away phone cards, I think, for refugees to phone home. All those little things, they're making a big difference.
And looking ahead to 2014, what can we expect?
I would say more of the same. In many ways, he started off giving us one surprise after the other. One of the great things about his papal ministry is that very few of the things, the initiatives that he wishes to take, are actually getting out into the public forum before they're actually announced. So it is a surprise for us who work in the Curia just as much as it will be for those who are reading it in the newspapers. I can see more courageous gestures. I can see more of his free styling. I mean, the word Francis means free man, and he's not going to be constricted in any way by the structures that he has inherited in the Vatican. So I can see him reaching out, doing more things, just being natural, just being himself. I mean, no one wants him to be anything else but the person that he is, using the talents and the skills that he has, and I think hopefully maybe having a greater influence on the world scene in terms of peace and reconciliation, because we're still living in troubled times and there are so many war zones around that needn't be. That's not being naive, but I think he could be a man who could actually bring people into a room, sit them down, and try to iron something out.